heart this mountain. Yes, it flows to the lowest valley. Yes, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it'll never lose its power. To the highest mountain. Aren't you glad that it does? Yes, it flows to the lowest valley. Yes, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. I want you to sing with all your heart, because it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, it flows to the lowest valley.
To the valley, the blood that gives me strength.
Hallelujah.
From day to day.
Oh, I know it'll never lose.
I know it will never lose.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Never lose
its power. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you thankful for that? How many of you enjoyed the word of the Lord here last night? Tell you what, we went to school last night. And I hope we get educated from what we heard. How many of you know we need to apply what we heard last night? I'd be a lot better Christians in this room if we would all apply that. By God's grace, we will attain to it. Isn't it good to be in church this morning? Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Give Him one big hand clap of praise this morning. Praise the Lord. I want to thank you for praying for me and Glenda. We're feeling a lot better. We don't feel like running a race this morning, but we are feeling a whole lot better. And that flu, it's just a devil. And I don't like it a bit. But I'll tell you what, God's grace is sufficient for the hour. Are you glad you're in love with Him this morning? Why don't you turn around? If you don't want to shake somebody's hand, just look at them and say, God bless you, my brother, my sister. Play some more of that, guys, if you will, this morning. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Did you come to have church? Well, that's what we're going to do then. We're going to have church. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request this morning. Brother Daniel, if you get ready to come lead us to the Lord this morning on behalf of these prayer requests. Sister Lita Beard, please continue to pray for Sister Lita Beard from Missouri. Been critically ill, recovering from kidney failure. So we want to remember that prayer request this morning. And Brother Johannan from Canada says, I have an emergency request in my heart. I believe that the Lord our God knows all about it. And I ask you to pray with me. And he, through his strength and his sovereign grace, will grant it. We're just believing that with our brother. So let's remember that need this morning. Want to pray for a brother Frank Beas. I hope I got that name right. Daughter. She's 35 in the intensive care unit. She has 5 children. Her husband is a pastor in Georgia, so we certainly want to pray for that need today. Brother Randy Scott says, please remember a friend of mine that I grew up with by the name of Rick. His brother-in-law passed away from cancer. Please remember his family in your prayer, so let's pray for that need this morning. Brother Jose Manley says the whole family is dealing with one form of sickness or another. Thank you so much for your prayers. May God bless, so let's remember that need. I want to pray for Gary Lyons, who was involved in a four-wheeler accident. He's in the intensive care unit. He is a brother to Sister Baker, so let's pray for that request this morning. I want to pray for Sister Jessica Ward. She is sick in body, needs a touch from the Lord. Please pray for Sister Rachel Hamlin. She is having surgery on this coming Wednesday. Brother George sends that in, so let's pray for that need. Sister Aretha McQueen is home, very sick, can hardly walk. She turns 80 this week, so let's remember that need as we pray today. Sister Barron says, my Aunt Rose needs prayer. She had a major stroke, cannot talk or swallow. Her whole left side is paralyzed. Also pray for a young man or a young mom, Angela, who needs help with a kidney stone. Let's just pray that the Lord will be mindful of those situations. I want to pray for Preston Edgar, a 4-month-old child in the Johnson City Medical Center with RSV. He is in serious condition, so let's pray for that need. Kezia McCoy at home, not feeling well this morning. Brother Aaron sends that in, so let's pray for that need as we pray. Brother Carter Lawson says, pray for a sister's daughter who has been missing since October, Celesta Wilson. Her granddaughter is with her, so they're just trying to locate those folks. Let's pray for that need. Brother Aaron Howard and Sister Naomi Howard says little baby Andrew Howard was born yesterday and is fighting off an infection. He is currently at the NICU, hoping that he will not have to have a spinal tap. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request. The Howard family, let's pray for them this morning. Then I believe Brother Joel announced last night that there's some pamphlets over in the library. Brother Amos Cuts had placed over there. They're free if you'd like to pick one up, and it has to do with their son Nathan. His faith was being tried, and it was a negative influence in his life, and just a lot of things going on. But the Lord has certainly opened his eyes, renewed his faith, and he's turned a 180-degree turn. And well, they just want to praise the Lord for that. They just want to praise the Lord that he's safely back in the fold. And well, God's just mindful of us, isn't he? We may stray, we may wander, but if we belong to him, you can run, but you can't hide. So let's just pray for that need this morning and thank God for what he has done. I believe that's all of our, let me make this announcement. There is a card on the bulletin board out in the lobby. It's a thank you card from Sister Pat Nunley and Brother Jeff Nunley in regard to all that the church here did during the passing of Brother David. They just wanted to thank you for your kindness and your love, and it's there on the bulletin board if you'd like to go by and look at that. Then this other reminder, everyone is invited to Elizabeth Jace Willis's adoption celebration today from 5 to 7. Sisters, please bring a dessert. So let's all just show up for that. That's a monumental moment in this family's life, and we're glad for them, aren't we? You love the Lord with all your heart. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Do you believe God can answer your prayer? Has He before? Has He this week? He certainly has. Let's stand, if you will. Appreciate this guy right here, too, don't we? Brother Daniel Nunley. God bless our brother today.
You know, it always does something to me when I hear that someone has returned back to the fold. Brother Amos, I rejoice with you this morning and your family. Amen. You know, this month, February, we think of it as kind of love month on account of Valentine. Start to say Halloween, I'll probably be more closer. But because of Valentine, but there was a child that wrote a note to his little pastor one time, and she says, just a small child, she said, I know that God loves me, but I wish you'd give me an A on my report card. And you know, that's the way with a whole lot of people. We love people if they give us something or do something for us. But how about those that hate you? Those that persecute you, revile against you. The Bible commands us to love those people also. Amen. Let's take these needs and requests to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for waking me up this morning, God. Let me be in my right mind. Let me be able to come to your house to worship you. And God, I just thank you for the service that we had last night. And God, as we hear our pastor preach about the spices in the garden. And oh, God, help me that I'll draw closer to you. As for me and my household, God, let us serve you with all of our heart. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for this church, these people here this morning. And God, now we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne. God, you hear each one of them. And to call them all out, God, you know I couldn't do it. But Lord, you know each one of them. I pray in the name of Jesus that your hand will go forth right now to heal, to save, to deliver, knowing that there's no distance in prayer. Wherever the need is today, I pray that your hand will go forth to move for those people. And God, we commit this service into your hands. God, we pray that you'll be with our pastor, Brother Dine. Anoint him, God, the musicians, each part of this service. May it be anointed with the Holy Ghost. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here today, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming this service today, we pray it'd be a great blessing to those folks as well. The more we hear, the more it sounds like our home place, don't it? Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise. Let's sing it this morning. That sounds like home to me. Praise the Lord.
Somewhere just across the Jordan River, there's a place of everlasting joy and peace. A tree of life is blooming there forever, and a crown of life is awaiting there for me.
Well, that sounds like home to me.
I'm
like where I want to be.
There'll be no tears
to fill our eyes again.
The hills will echo with the story as we sing.
Saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
They say there's mansions there inside the city. A crystal river flowing.
Hallelujah.
By
a tree of life.
No pain, no disappointment. Christ, my God, will be the light.
Well, that sounds like home to me.
To me.
Like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill my eyes
again.
Saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. That sounds like home to me. Like where I want to be. There'll be no tears in our eyes again.
Inside the city, a crystal river flowing by, a tree of life. There's no pain, no disappointments will ever come there.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
And Jesus Christ, my God, will be.
Sounds like home to me,
like
where I want to be. There'll be no tears, fill our eyes again.
The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory.
Oh, where the saints of God will be. Sounds like home to me.
The hills will echo with the story as we sing His grace and glory.
Oh, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
Joel, come up here real quick, if you will, buddy. I want to know how it feels. I've heard it talked about. I've heard it preached about. I've read about it. The great things that lay in store for the people of God. I personally want to know how it feels. I want to know what it's like to never have no more trouble. I want to know what it's like to have a body that don't get sick no more. I want to know what it's like to see streets of gold that I've never seen before. I want to know what it's like to look at those walls of jasper, gates of pearl. I want to know how it feels. Let's sing about it this morning.
I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels. I want to know how it feels of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels. My mama and daddy talked about going home since I was just a babe on their knee. They said nothing compared to what was waiting up there. How one day we would finally be free. Well, I've never seen it, but I keep on believing. It's a place like that I've never known. I'll keep my eyes on the sky, 'cause my soul wants to fly. Lord, my heart is ready to go. I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. To rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels. Sometimes I get weary from this life that I'm living. Seems peace is something I'll never find. I try to lighten my load when all that I've got to show. Oh, it's 7,000 things on my mind. Oh, but I keep seeing visions of a crystal clear river where sin's forgotten without a trace.
Let you be seated this morning. We're going to try to make up a song or two that we're behind on. Sister Deanna, I'll get you, Lord willing, the next service, the Lord willing. Brother Brandon had a song for us and another song, but we won't be able to get but to one of them this morning, so we're running out of time, so we'll get that just as soon as we can. Brother Brandon, God bless you. Well, I appreciate this guy right here too, don't you? Amen. Brother Brandon Green and his family, just a precious, precious family, and we love them in the Lord. And he's just a good guy. Brother Brandon, get up here and sing for us, buddy.
appreciate you, Brother Louie, and the scripture.
We're going to try a new one here. It's called Jesus Loves Me. It's not the kids song, but it has that same message that's still true. Amen. In chains, the world had a hold of me. My heart was a stone, I was covered in shame. When he came for me, I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me. It was a fire deep in my soul, I'll never be the same. I stepped out of the dark into the light when he called my name. I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me. For me, Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for. He holds the stars and he holds my heart with healing hands that bear the scars. The rugged cross where he died for me, my own.
That today, don't we?
Amen.
How great is his love for us. Song of Solomon chapter 4 verse 12, if you would today. Greet you today in the name of the Lord. Privilege for us to be back together again in the house of God.
Amen.
I think Brother Louie had mentioned about Brother Robert Morello's brother-in-law going to have a surgery, and actually had that hip replacement surgery done this week. while he was having it, he had some really, really bad things that was going on, so they had to stop the surgery kind of in the middle of it because I thought they was going to lose him. But the Lord come on the scene for him and moved, and they was able to bring him back and going back into the surgery, I guess, the next day and go ahead and have the total hip replacement thing. So they just wanted me to express their appreciation for your prayers and concern during that time. It was really a touch and go type of thing, I guess, as we'd say. But actually, when our life is in the hands of the Lord, no matter how much the devil tries, he ain't going to be able to take us, is he? Let's read together. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits. Camphor with spikenard. Spikenard and saffron. Calamus and cinnamon. With all trees of frankincense. Myrrh and aloes with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens. A well of living waters. And streams from Lebanon. And then she says, awake, O north wind, come thou south, and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you today. We so, so appreciate your many, many kindnesses and blessings that you've given to our hearts and our lives. If you never did anything else for us the rest of our journey, we wouldn't have one thing to complain about. But we believe as we go on, Father, that you'll continue to be mindful of us, and this world that we live, and you'll be among us. And Lord, we just pray that you'd let your manifestation come. It's so encouraging to us, Lord, when we see and hear from you. Speak to us today, I pray, from these scriptures that we have read and these others that we have before us to look into. May we be benefited by our gathering together in the house of God. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Truly, as the earth spins in the universe on her axis, she has two poles by which we identify her, that is the north and the south. Of course, if you go to the north pole, there's nothing actually sticking up like this, or nothing at the south like this, that would show you where she's turning. If you go to the north pole, which more than likely most of us won't, or if you just go by the means of a video and see those who have been there, you will find a last little town right before you get up to it. And then when you do arrive, you'll find a banner that's stretched across there and a little thing that's been dedicated many, many years ago, stone with a brass colored plaque on it that tells you that you're at the North Pole. It's a contrast that the Earth spins on in her atmosphere, tilted at 22.5 degrees. Since the fall, since the cataclysmic change that came upon the earth and tilted her over in order to be able to produce the seasons and the climate change that she has. But yet we know that also there's spiritual things that God takes from the natural laws of gravitation and science and the law of contrast. And we know that we live, as long as we're here in time, under those law of contrast. I don't like them much, as you probably don't, but yet they're here. And it's something that we have to deal with. So we're well, and then we have sickness, and then we have good days, and then we have bad days. And so that's the law of contrast that we're in. And we know in order for us to be fully developed, to be what God wants us to be, we will be developed not under the law alone of perfection or the bond of perfectness, but we will be developed under the laws of contrast. So we'll have good things and there'll be bad things. There'll be trying times and there'll be great victory times. And under that is the way God chose to make us to become what he wants us to be. I believe for every child of God, the sincere desire of their heart would be to be everything everything the Lord Jesus wants them to be. Am I right in assuming that today? That they want to be everything that the Lord wants them to be. And they want to be it in the fullness of the capacity of what they can be. They don't want to just be it and say, well, you know, I can be that much and that much and that much. If that's tolerable and that's allowable into heaven, then that's what I want to be. I don't believe a real child of God filled with the Holy Ghost wants to be that. I think they want to abound in these things. So they don't want to just have enough to make it through, but they want to be a fruitful type of a Christian and be developed into what God wants them to be. Now, looking at these things that the Lord Jesus is able to see in His bride, and we know that He can see in both realms, in two dimensions, and that He sees it in a futuristic way, in the future of what you will be. He's able to see what you will be 1,000 years from now, 10,000 years from now. He's able to see that. He's also able to see in reality of where you are right now and be able to anoint a minister to be able to come and bring something that will help pull you in a higher level. So He's not the type of a God, the type of a husband that only looks in the future and has no realistic view of where we are today. So we know then that if He's looking in the bride and seeing that she's without fault, she has all these great things that are inside of her, that no doubt a lot of that is the future. And He sees us as we are in Him. But He also has the ability to look at the Jacob part of us, which is still yet unconverted. He can see the Isaac and the Jacob at the same time and knows how to speak to both of them. But what makes it difficult is we can become confused when He's speaking from one to the other. But He knows exactly where we are. Aren't you glad? He knows exactly what attributes you have in your life. He knows how far they are developed. And He knows exactly what's lacking in your life. And He wants to bring those which are not developed or underdeveloped into what He wants them to be. Now, we are not the measuring stick ourselves. Neither are other people what we are to measure by. But what we should measure by is God's will for our lives. I found this many years ago myself, and being a preacher, I'm not interested in being like this man or that man or that man. I just want to be what God wants me to be and let it go with that. Because you'll always find preachers that can out-preach you, that are smarter than you, that are deeper than you. Why spend all of your life regretting because you're not like this one or that one? Just be what God made you to be and be happy with that. As we found last night, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, looking at this then, the Lord Jesus is not just portraying something that is unrealistic. By seeing these things in the bride that He describes in the Song of Solomon, in the Psalms 45, which is a love song as well, and what He describes in the epistles is not something that is just futuristic, as I said, something way off in the blue that He sees and actually is not really there. No, if He says it is there, then it is there. Now, it may be in seed form. It says the Greek word, which is logizomosio, which is one of the words that something is attributed to your account, and it's attributed there. You may not know it, but it's there as well as realistically can be. So God knows that these things are attributed to your account, but He wants them to be in a physical manifestation to where not only He sees it, but you're able to see it and others will see it around you. Now, let us go back for just a little bit, if you will, and we'll think of these virtues that has been spices, if you want to call them that, or graces that we've dealt with so far. Love, faith, hope, a pure heart, patience, long-suffering, brotherly kindness, peace, godliness, and thankfulness. Now, can you imagine if we would stop at that alone? That would be such wonderful attributes for the wind of God to be able to blow across a garden of God. And out of that individual would come these attributes. And whether they are individually blown together or through the art of the apothecary, to where they are molded together and they are blown and uniformed, that God would blow by the Holy Ghost and these things would blow out of your lives all at one time. Can you imagine what a Christian it would be for the Spirit of God to blow
blow these attributes out of your life. And the Lord Jesus standing downwind of where you are, and the north wind blows, and when he does, he blows the convergence together of love and peace and mercy and kindness and brotherly kindness and goodness and all of these things coming out of your heart, coming out of your soul. Now the miracle part about it is that they are blowing out of a soul that used to be in bondage to hell, that used to have no more patience in anything, that had no long suffering, no forbearance, no forgiveness, held grudges, and out of that heart now blows by the regeneration of God a miraculous virtue after virtue after virtue. Now let's look, if you can, at a few more by the help of the Lord today. Let's look at merciful. How many wants to be merciful? How many needs mercy? Just a few of you. Wow, I should have changed my text and preached on celestial beings maybe. How many needs mercy? Ah, I kicked in. Okay, I must have said it wrong. Now, in order to obtain mercy, there must be an understanding of being merciful. You see, it's the same way with forgiveness. A person who's not ready to forgive is not yet ready to be forgiven, because they tie together. It's the same with mercy and merciful. It's the same as peace and peacemaker. You see, these attributes are so tied into the nature of God that a person who really receives these attributes in the right way, it so transforms them that it makes them what they have received. Now, you see, the church nominal, the Christians that are out here in the world that really don't know what God is doing and really too much really about what God is about, they will receive mercy, but many of them will never become merciful. They will ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive them to a degree, but they will never then move into a higher understanding of forgiveness, and that is that they also not only receive forgiveness, but they can forgive as God Himself forgives. They can actually not only receive the love of God, but they can love as if it was God Himself in their body. Now, I don't want to go over your head, and I don't want to go beyond what you can understand, but I do want to tell you that we are blessed today. If we can love like God, forgive like God, be merciful like God, you're one of the few that's ever lived on this earth. Now, on the brink of what God was trying to introduce, of course, the Lord Jesus introducing by the Gospels, it must have been totally overwhelming as we look at here today. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, how are you ever going to correlate this together, that obtaining mercy is tied in to your ability to be merciful? Now, you imagine that this is still overwhelming, of course, to people today, in that Jesus Himself, now remember, this is not a preacher saying this, but this is the Master of Mercy Himself. So He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So it moves beyond just the common thinking of mercy on the very introductory level of mercy, and that is, well, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I'm wretched, I need mercy, and that's all there is to it. Now, this scripture here is not just dealing with a sinner, because all of us, when we're sinners, there's no way that we have much mercy about us anyway, only to our loved ones, and sometimes not even them. But here Jesus is moving to a deeper understanding of mercy, and this is for a person who's moved into a closer walk with God, so-called, to where they understand now that they are also under the ministry of reconciliation. They have been called to God by the ministry of reconciliation, but then they move into a deeper walk with God to where they participate in a ministry of reconciliation. Now, once they get there, how much mercy they will receive is dependent on how much mercy they give back out. Now, this could not be so for an unconverted sinner. We know that. But for one who moves into a deeper manifestation of mercy, as you grow and you become more mature in God, you will find the allotment of mercy that is given to you will be measured by the allotment of mercy that you give to others when they trespass against you. Now can you imagine the north wind as it blows through every member of the bride, and she is that individual garden, and the Spirit of God blows through her, and he's able to pick up this attribute of being merciful. And he sees in her is the measure of mercy that was given to her by divine revelation from the presence of God. Now she's not only a recipient of mercy, but she in turn delves out or gives out this same abundance of mercy to others. That's why for the elect, there is an unending, abounding trove of God's mercy. You know why? Because they are merciful. You see why mercy ends for those that hold grudges. You see why mercy ends for those who cannot be merciful. They are receiving a limited amount of mercy because they are giving a limited amount of mercy. Oh my. Notice again in Luke chapter 6 verse 36, Jesus says, be ye therefore merciful. And what is the standard? As your Father also is merciful. How many needed forgiveness this week? Me too. So how does God render mercy? I'm supposed to be as merciful as he is. I'm supposed to forgive the way he does. Boy, you're quiet on me already. Be ye therefore merciful as, now here's the standard now, not mama, not daddy, not the preacher, well, not what the church said, but be merciful as your Father. Now notice, he's speaking to those now who've entered into a new birth. Entered into an experience with God, not the sinner who is just coming to God, but under those who've come under the claim of Christianity, and they now claim that God is their Father. So Jesus in turn says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. I'm sure there's probably some pretty good mathematicians here in the church, maybe some that excelled in algebra, that excelled in mathematics and able to do all kinds of maybe profound figures of adding, subtracting, multiplying. But I dare say there's probably no one here that would have the ability to take all of our trespasses and our sins, all the times we've had to ask God for forgiveness, and add all of that together and really come up with a feasible number to be able to make us comprehend the grace of God that's expressed right here in this building today. Just how many times that God has forgiven you and I of those things which we knew were wrong and yet we did it anyhow. Whenever we said things we knew it wasn't right, but yet we said it anyhow. We caused an argument. Come on, children, say amen. Whenever we've done things that we know better and yet we go right ahead and do it anyhow, and the mercy of God is extended to us over and over and over again. Does God do that begrudgingly? Does God give mercy? I'm going to give it to you, but I'll tell you one thing, it's making me mad to do it. No, that's not the way God gives mercy. Does God give mercy and then throw it up to you the rest of your life? This is your standard. For you and I to be merciful as our Father, we are to give mercy to those who ask it and don't remind them of it. And don't hold it over them the rest of their life and use it as a threat. Oh, today's going to be the shortest sermon in history. Notice this now in Philippians chapter 2 verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Now this seems strange to us, of course, in the Western civilization, because from the Old Testament to the New, the word bowels is used in the sense of out of your bowels will come a seed, which is God, what God told Abraham. Out of your bowels, and Isaiah said, will come your inheritance. So the bowels to us, it seems very peculiar. But you have to keep in mind that the Bible was written under what we would call a Hebrew idiom, so that they would use words of similarities in the way that they they would relate to it. So they considered the bowels to be the seat of the deeper affections than the heart. So they would look at the bowels and say, my bowels yearned for you, my brother. So it's not talking so much about the part of our body that we know of, but yet the bowels was that which was the deepest part of your emotions, the deepest part of your love, the deepest part of your forgiveness. So you find this in the Old and the New Testament. So when Paul mentions now about mercies, he brings it from the part that they identify as even deeper than the heart. So from bowels of mercy would be deeper from saying the mercy from the heart, because they considered this the deepest part. So you move from here down into here, which the word is interchangeable for intestines or belly or bowel. So from here would come the deepest part of the way you feel. Now notice he says, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, be of one accord and of one mind. Now notice how he's speaking to the saints that they are to relate to one another and also relate to one another who are not saints of God yet. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Now notice it moves beyond the mind. It moves beyond the first tier of emotion, and it moves down into the deepest part of where you really are, your bowels of mercy. So he gives them this admonition, let nothing be done through strife. Now the word strife is actually politicking. So it's going among the church and playing politics, or it's striving for an office. So he said, don't let nothing be done. I'll tell you, friends, if we can be able to take these scriptures I'm going to share with you today, we will turn this area upside down. I'm talking about this area right here. I'm talking about this area right here. If you'll take these scriptures, if I never preach anything else to you from this point on, and I stand up here from every service now to the rapture and say, ditto, 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 this will absolutely transform our lives, and Satan will run back to hell like a scared rabbit. You say, you're pretty confident. I am confident in my Father's word, because I know my Father's word is irrefutable. Hallelujah. It is absolutely all powerful. Notice this. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory is an empty pride or a vain opinion of yourself. Well, glory. But in lowliness of mind, which is a deep sense of one's littleness. A deep sense of one's littleness. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And word better is superior in rank, of greater understanding, and higher than you. Well, let's all stand. We'll go eat dinner. We've had enough church right now to change the world. Praise the Lord. Now, can you imagine if every singer, every preacher, every musician, every deacon, every lay member would simply get this one verse and let this be activated in their life on a day-to-day basis? What a different people we would be. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now notice again in Colossians chapter 3 verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Now what you notice is that it's as if though Paul is relating this to a garment. Put on as the elect of God. Now, he does not ask the church to do this. He's not ask those that just come to Christ, but he's asking the elect of God. You believe you're elect? Put on as the elect of God bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So it's as if this is a garment. Now notice this is where it comes from growing in the garden of your heart, and it comes into such fruition in your life that it's visible on the outside. Children, this is what you're longing for. Many of you are hungering in your life and you're wanting more and more of God. It's not so much more of the Holy Ghost and do signs and wonders and miracles. It's so you'll be able to grow, and the growing of the inner fruit in your life will become so tangible, it will be as if though it were a shirt or a vest or a dress or a blouse or a jacket, that you'll be able to put it on and it'll be on display before the people of the world. My. Notice this in verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Why in the world would he compare people quarreling to forgiveness from God? Because whether or not you understand it and realize it, you was fussing with God before you got saved. You had a quarrel with him. He said, you're lost. She said, no, I ain't. He said, you're going to hell. He said, no, I ain't. He said, you're rotten. No, I ain't. I'm good. I'm sweet. You just don't know me. He said, no, you ain't. So you had a quarrel against God. And you know what Jesus done? He resolved the argument. Jesus was the heart of God. He convinced you, you're rotten. You're stinking. Oh, God, I'm rotten. I'm stinking. Oh, no, no. So Jesus settled the argument. So then he turns and said, now if any of you have a quarrel with a brother, or let me not limit to a brother, a sister, if you have a quarrel, then forgive them. Well, I didn't get many amens on that. Must be some folks quarreling in the church then. Notice that verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
Praise the Lord.
Wow. So here the north wind shifts from the blowing of the hot sands and sun and those souths. And you're tried and tested. And your mercies have about reached their limits, you think. This person is getting on my nerves. I'm telling you one thing, if they don't quit carefully, you're going to pop them dentures out. And all of a sudden the wind changes and the north wind comes. You gave them mercy. You forgave them for this. You forgave them for that. And all of a sudden the north wind changes directions. And it comes behind that trial of yours and blows right over into the presence of God. This aromatic smell of your mercies. You imagine how the Lord Jesus' heart must swell when he says, that's exactly the way I would have done that. Can we go to another one? Goodness. Goodness is a byword. It's a word, you know, that we use quite frequently, I suppose. But let's use it in the right way of its setting. In Romans chapter 5, verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness. What a thing for a prophet of God to say about us. Full of goodness. I know a lot of folks that are full of baloney. Are full of lies. Are full of this, that, and other. But to be said about you, you are full of goodness. Don't laugh at me. You do too. Look at the word goodness. It means uprightness of heart and life. You see, friend, this is where that for the church world, this leaves them out. Because they feel like everything they are is totally bottled up on the inside. They're in Christ on the inside. They're sinless on the inside. They're good. They're all that on the inside. So it don't matter what the outside looks like at all. But you see, that's contrary to New Testament teaching. Godliness is not just what's bottled up on the inside and nobody knows it but Jesus alone. Godliness is uprightness of heart and uprightness of life. So this goodness will come out of you because it's co-joined to godliness and mercy and love and forgiveness. Notice, I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness. Notice now, full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Ephesians 5:9. But for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So what is it? It is a godly character born in you by the Holy Ghost, which projects itself not just from the inside, but from the inside out. An uprightness of life, of heart, of character, of the way you are in church or out of church. It's just as real on Monday as it is on Sunday. It's just as powerful on Tuesday as it is on Wednesday. It's 24/7. You're not a 3-day-a-week Christian. You're on call 24/7. And everywhere you go, goodness is there. David said it this way in Psalms, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But let me improvise a little bit after the cross. It ain't going to be goodness that's going to follow me. It's going to be goodness that's going to come out of me. Come on, children, we don't want goodness to follow us. That's the Old Testament. That's very well. But we want goodness to be out of our lives. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Oh, thanks be to God. Now let's look at another one, if you would. Kindness. 1 Corinthians. Oh, somebody blowed. Who was it? 1 Corinthians 13:4. I was hoping somebody wasn't passing out on me. Charity suffers long and is kind. Anybody here know what the word kindness means? Where it come from? Okay, you're fixing to. The origin of the word kindness, the very word kindness, comes from the cognate word kind. K-I-N-N-E-D. And that is one of the same kin or race. So kindness has its root word from being kin. Now there's a human kindness, but we want more than that. So if you then would manifest kindness because you're kin, so why shouldn't we, even as humans without being born again, why should we even manifest kindness to the rest of humanity? Because we are kin to them. So then if they do something against you, then you show kindness because you understand you have frailties too. But now, of course, if you look at yourself as being above everybody else and greater than everybody else, maybe that's one reason you don't express kindness. But if you understand that you're of the same race, your color has nothing to do with what I'm talking about now, whether you're from Japan or whether you're from South Africa or wherever you're from, but we're all of the same race, the human race. Now the human race is up here and then we have the breakdowns of all these races down underneath it. But here we're dealing with the human race. And kindness then comes from what? You being able to relate to the rest of humanity. Come on children, I'm going to get right down where you live. I'm afraid for a long time, and maybe some of you still have it, there's been this thing about us and the message feeling like that we're better than everybody else. We are not. If it wasn't for the grace of God, this church right here could be Happy Valley Baptist Church or Happy Valley Church of Christ or whatever more. Anything more that we are is the kindness and the grace of God. It's not because you're a better people. I'm a better preacher. This is a better location. Hogwash. It is the grace of God. The grace of God that makes us what we are. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You're still kin by human race. To every bobbed-haired woman out here in this Tri-Cities. By human race, you're still kin to every Jezebel, every drunk, every liar. Come on now. Every person that's going to the Baptist church and the charismatic church this morning, as far as human race, you're just as much kin. So why can't you show kindness to them? Because you get elevated up here. It's not this that gets elevated. This will humble you. But you get right here. Look at her, that bobbed hair. That, I'll tell you one thing, God ought to throw her in hell. No, that's not the way kindness looks at them. You look at them and say, Lord, if it wasn't for your grace, I could be right there. If it wasn't for your grace, that could be me, Lord. Colossians, again, we'll read some of these scriptures parallel because Paul mentions some of the same things in them. But Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And this is how, even as God for Christ's sake
have forgiven you. Not for your own. You wasn't forgiven for your sake. Come on. You wasn't forgiven for your sake. Well, then don't forgive your brother so much for his sake. Forgive him for Christ's sake. Why did God throw our Bible so good? You need to read your Bible. You was not good. God forgave us for Christ's sake. Then forgive your brother for Christ's sake. Oh my. Meekness. Oh, I love this aroma. Meekness. She's rare. Hard to find. Very difficult. As a matter of fact, this is one of the harder ones that God has of collecting on the earth. Meekness. As a matter of fact, I hear the prophet saying, question and answer 1959, God has a hard time trying to find somebody he can use. Because he said, with most of them, if they go to using them, they want to become a god or an angel to the people. But if God can find a man that the more he uses him, the littler he gets. And the more he uses him, the littler he gets. Meekness. You see, meekness is something, this type of meekness, it's not something we're born with, as you're already relating to it, I'm sure. These things are not natural traits, it's given to us. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, put him on Facebook, make a YouTube video about him, and let everybody know. You which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. I love the way he puts this trailer on the end of it. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You see, it might be easier for me and you to say, I can't believe so-and-so has a problem with drinking. I can't believe so-and-so. Can you believe there's people in our church that have problems with snuff? No, I can't hardly believe that either. Can you believe those people in our church have a problem with this, not nothing? We say, I'll tell you one thing, I don't understand. You better watch what you're saying. Or that very same thing you're ridiculing, God might allow you to be tempted by the same thing. So you'll be able to relate a little better. And you'll get off your big high horse. Oh my. How are we to restore? Through meekness, not through arrogance. I told you so. I told you so. I warned you. You think that's meekness? My, my. Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness. Lowliness. And meekness. And long suffering. Forbearing one another in love. Again, Colossians 3:12, this one verse is loaded. We're just going to wallop the devil with it several times. Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. I'm convinced, friends, one reason God will not allow more people to pray for this person or that person or that person and that person get healed and it go back to that person's prayer is because so many folks are so arrogant. And they want to be sure and let everybody know, I prayed for so-and-so and they got healed. I done this. How do you know it was your prayer? Not even their faith. I seen all kinds of Pentecostal preachers, but I found out years later they prayed prayers for people and people got healed and they was living like devils when they prayed that way. Yeah, that's why anointing once the end time was such an answering thing to me, because then I began to realize it wasn't so much the godliness of that man or the purity of that man. It was the faith of them people. And faith moves God, and they had a need in their life. And we become arrogant. Well, I prayed for so-and-so. I talked to so-and-so. And boy, it was a turning point in their life. I've done this and I've done that. And then we ask God, God, use me. God, use me. How can God use arrogance? God, use me. Look, friends, if we ever want to amount to anything in the program of God, meekness is the way, not arrogance and pride. Amen. The way up is still down. Amen. And the church said,
My. James says it this way in James 1:21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, you know, whenever we first begin to come to the illumination of light, most of us receive the engrafted word with meekness. But the challenge is not being able to just receive it, but the challenge is being able to maintain the same meekness that we received it in. If we're not careful, we become illuminated. And illumination can go one or two ways. Illumination will go toward the avenue of revelation, which taps the soul, or it can go toward the avenue of knowledge, which taps the mind. Then it will come, well, I know more than you. I see more than you. I'm deeper than you are. Our church has the deepest preacher in the message. Well, you see right there, you know where they're going. So have they received the engrafted word with meekness? Or they've kept that same spirit? No. Because when we go to exalting one preacher or one church or one certain thing, we are not meek. Come on, happy about it. Don't you get quiet on me. Oh my. Now I know that smell. That ain't frankincense. That's Bab incense and Whitson incense and Horn incense and Reagan incense and Orndorff incense. That's high. That's what that is. Let's look at another spice. Temperance. This has nothing to do with alcohol now, so put your banners up. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I love this word, temperance. Self-control, the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions. He masters them. But Brother Donnie, the women are so beautiful. But Brother Donnie, of this and that and the other, he masters them. Now you realize, in order for these virtues to be tried, the south wind must blow. What will be the trying of meekness? That God may gift you above your brothers. God may allow you to write all kinds of songs. God may allow you to do this, that, and the other. God may allow you to be able to help a certain people. And the south wind will blow against your flesh and see what you'll do with it. But if you're really born of the Spirit of God, it'll come. And when the wind changes on the other side, meekness will blow into the fragrance of the Son of God. Now look, when we come to temperance then, for a person to master, they master. Look, friend, for those who say, well, I have no control over drinking. I have no control over lust. I have no... Either you're lying or you're demon-possessed. Brother Donnie, are you out of touch with reality? No, I'm not out of touch with reality, but I'm in touch with Him more than I am with reality. I don't care who you are, where you live, what your passion, I'm high passion, that makes no difference at all. The Word of God tells us there is a way a person can control, not only control, but master. On this board right back here, there's several different channels. Each channel has a slider, which is for the volume, a gain, a treble. Pre and post, all different kinds of settings that's on there. But on the other side, the right-hand side, still on the mic, Brother Michael, on the right-hand side is called a master. On this amplifier setting right here is a couple of different channel controls. But also on the other side is a master. You can fool with the channel however you want to fool with it. But if you slide over here to the master, it's going to control every one of them. See, taste, feel, smell, hear, imagination, conscience, memory, reason, affection. That's the console of your spirit and your body. But the master is not in your spirit. The master is not in your flesh. But the master is in your soul. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Donnie, I battle this. Sure, you're going to. If you're a normal man, you are. But you've got a master control down in your soul, my brother. Does that mean it will eliminate it? Absolutely not. But it gives you the ability. You have temperance. I refuse to allow lust to control my eyes. I refuse to allow the people of the world to control me. I've got the master control in my soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you've got the master control in your soul, who can control you? Self-control, the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions. He can carry a smartphone and have access to every filth imaginable and unimaginable. But he's got a master control. It's in the soul. So that phone is a tool, and he uses that phone. And if it ever gets to a spot that phone uses him, he'll trash it and get a 1956 model cell phone. Some of you folks would be better off with a dumb phone anyhow if it leads you into sin. That's exactly right. Whenever that phone controls you, get rid of it. When a computer controls you, if the internet controls you, disconnect it from your house. Go back to talking on a tin can and a phone wire. Hello? Hello, John? I'd rather talk to John like that than to stay in a constant trouble with my flesh. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus when his sons, when the women are more beautiful in this age than they've ever been before, and the prophet said they nearly drive the sons of God out of their minds. And it's bad enough that we're tempted out here. It's even worse when women come in church and wear dresses so skin tight and so short and so low at the top. Don't sit there and look at me like you know what I'm talking about. And a servant of God come to church or try to get into service and have to turn his head this way and that way because the women dress like, oh, shame on you. I said shame on you. This ought to be a house of God, a place of correction. We come to hear the word. Oh, but there's some sons in this last day. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost blows that north wind across their soul and they was assaulted by a woman in Walmart. She never touched him, but she assaulted him. Come on. They was insulted by a woman at a restaurant. They was insulted by one here and there. And yet they're able to turn their head. They're able to say, oh God, help me. And the wind shifts and the north wind comes. And it blows across into the face of the Lord Jesus. Not lust, not adultery, but the fragrance of temperance. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus saying back to his boys, sons, that's exactly the way I've done it. Because when I was in the earth in a human body like yours, I was tempted by women too. They throwed themselves at me. They done all that to me too. You handled that just like I did. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 6, add to knowledge, temperance to temperance, patience to patience, godliness. Let's move to another precious, rare spice. Forgiveness. Or forgiving. Matthew chapter 6 verse 14, again now the Lord Jesus is going to parallel this as he did with mercy. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So you mean forgiveness is based on forgiveness? Why? Why? An unforgiving spirit is not ready for forgiveness themselves. Jesus, preceding this, tells us of a parable of a man who owed pretty small change, actually, to a creditor. He comes and you remember the story. I don't have the money. Please. Let me give you the other side of it first. This man owns a gigantic amount, a sum of quite large money. And he goes to the creditor and said, I'm so sorry, I just don't have the money to pay. Please forgive me. Astronomical amount of money. I'll forgive you. Write it off, it's paid. Then he goes out and he finds another man who owed him pennies. And he said, forget, you owe me this money. I ain't got it. Please give me some time. He grabbed him by the neck, as it were, going to throw him in prison, sell his wife, children, whatever more. Now, Jesus bases this principle of forgiveness upon this parable. So here was this man who owed this astronomical amount, and he asked for forgiveness, and the creditor forgave him. Then he runs into one of his brothers at church. Another brother that owes him tuppence, you know, just hardly nothing at all. But he turns it. I'll tell you one thing, you better pay me, you sorry thing. If you don't, I'm gonna... So here Jesus now deals with forgiveness on this basis of how we forgive others. Now he's likening the man who owed the astronomical amount to us coming to God. So we owe God years and years and years and years of debt. And we come to him and he forgives us. And then we run into a brother that owes us something, trespass against us, talk about us on Facebook or something, you know, something like that that we can relate to. And then that's our debt in comparison to his debt. So it's a real small, trivial debt. And we get so mad. How can they be a Christian? I'll tell you one thing, I don't. So Jesus says, if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew chapter 18 verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Whoa. I mean, Peter has reached the ultimate of forgiveness. Now the rabbis taught that you were to forgive a man three times. And on the fourth time, don't forgive him. So Peter doubled the teaching of the rabbis. Three plus one more. I mean, I have excelled. You imagine him standing there. I'm ready for the kingdom of God. I guess I'm just about on the threshold of eternity. Until the master of forgiveness answered him. Jesus says unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Peter probably looked worse than some of you all are looking right now. So much about me being on the brink of eternity. I thought I was really something. Seven times. 70 times in one day. Me, or you got 490 times. Lord, are you kidding me? There's no way I can do that. Jesus could have said, I know. That's why I said it that high. So it would blow out all of your human abilities. Can't you see why he's setting the standard so high, Brother Jim? No mortal, absolutely no mortal could ever do what I'm reading to you this morning. There is no preacher, there is no prophet, there is no mama, there is nobody that can live this kind of life by theirself. It takes the power of Almighty God to do it, church. Oh my. It's beyond all of us to do this. This is why he can so rejoice when he looks at you and sees this. Luke chapter 6 verse 37, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not. You shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. 2 Corinthians 2:6, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. So that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him. Talking about a brother in the church now that had done great wrong and sin. Notice in the balance of how Paul is dealing with the forgiveness, but not pushing it so far. Rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one would be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. You understand that a preacher has this same accountability every time he deals with corrective type sermons. You've got so much ability, each one of you. And what makes it difficult is, I'm sitting here preaching today to hundreds of people. Each one of you have a different little ability, a little bit different capacity in order to deal with the feeling you're falling short of the glory of God. Feeling like, oh Lord, I'm so short of the glory of God. Oh Lord, I don't know why. But if I'm not careful, I'll keep going and going and going and going because I've got 37 pages of notes and I've got to preach all 37 pages of notes and I will push you over the top of that spot to where you enter into not sorrowful, but over sorrowful. What I said was right. What I said was true. But I made it go too far and pushed 1, 2, 3, 4 to a spot to where their sorrow turns into despair. And they think, there's no need for me to even try. Look, children, if you ever pray for preachers, you need to pray for them now. It's more to being a preacher than standing up here taking a text and reading a bunch of quotes. What you don't see, the things that you're not sensitive to, that you can't find written in here, how long to go, how long do you preach on that, how long do you stay there? That's where it becomes a gifted man to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Because everything that you deal with, you're not going to find a quote to back it up. How long am I supposed to deal with sorrow? There ain't no quotes to say. How long am I supposed to deal with a reprimanding sermon and not push somebody over into overmuch sorrow? You ain't going to find a scripture that says, but the Holy Ghost knows. Do you understand when we're correcting our wives, our children, our brothers, our sisters, there is a window, there is a spot that we can go. And if we go to the very brink of that spot, we can push them over. Whew. Lord, help us, Jesus. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:13, forbearing with one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. But you know how this forgiveness is dried, don't you? When the south wind blows. And you're in the best mood that ever was. It's Sunday morning. You've got your Bible under your arm. You step out of your car. Boy, we're having a meeting today. I can feel it in my bones. And you run into that one certain brother that's always a stick in your mud. Or that one certain sister. And you just happen to wear this certain dress. And wouldn't you know it? She went to TJ Maxx yesterday and bought the same dress. Of all women to wear that dress. Now you and her look like twins. And if there's anybody you wouldn't want to be a twin with, that's her. Sometimes humanity tickles me to death. Just by how foolish we are. How vain we are. And all of a sudden, that bottom lip of yours, it goes into overdrive. My whole day's ruined. I'll never get nothing out of the service knowing she wore that dress like mine. Oh my. Children, if God and His sovereign grace will allow us to permit these graces to mature and reach fruition in our lives and blow this fragrance into His nose. You're talking about a people It's amazing to me that Paul, in dealing with all these things, that Paul is not talking about great, deep, dark understandings and mysteries and hidden things and things like that, which is where a lot of the message folks, you know, they tend to go. That's why they get so caught up. Boy, nobody else is preaching this. I wouldn't want to preach it then. God never gave me the charge to get everybody in the message ready. Come on. If I'm the only one preaching something, I better watch out for something going on somewhere. Because this bride is around the world. How much more could we present to God if we would be able to walk out of here today with our mind made up by God's grace? He read about that. That is me. That is me. I'm going to become that. Then don't worry. Whatever depths you need will follow. Oh my. Let me go just a bit farther, can I? Let's add one more spice. One aromatic herb that grows in the bride's garden. Truly it's a rarity, exotic, fine, excellent qualities. Duplicates itself in such a harmonious way. Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful spice. It's called the spice of revelation. In the Greek, it's called apocalypsis. The apocalypsis is a Greek word that is used for a sculptor or an artist that would make a great fine work of art. And he would call for a certain day when he was going to unveil that work. So in would come the dignitaries of the city or other artists and musicians or sculptors or whatever more, and they would come in under anticipation, waiting to see what Lorenzo or Michelangelo or, you know, whoever more was going to unveil. Oh my, they'd heard about it and heard about it, but they wasn't sure exactly. They wasn't sure. And because it was veiled, they would have to sit there with anticipation. Then he would get up, well, I spent so many years, I got the inspiration from this and that and the other, and he'd reach over on the side, and he would begin to pull a rope or a string, and whew, there it was. Hallelujah. So the apocalypsis is revealing or manifesting something that is there, but yet you can't see it till the veil is removed. You see, Brother Branham tells us this way in God's Provide a Place of Worship in Shreveport, 1965. He said that the enthusiasm of God was so moved that he had to smite Jesus, the masterpiece. God got enthused. Look it up. Enthusiasm of God. So what does the apocalypse do? The apocalypse takes something like the Bible, which is a great masterpiece, written by 40 different authors, covering a period of many, many hundreds and hundreds of years, 1600 years, written by different people from different countries, put together by different people from different countries. Now, whenever it was being printed, of course, by King James and Tyndale and all the different translations, my, it brought a revival. But it was still the book. But then in the last days, God said, I'm going to take the cover off the book. And you're not going to just need a new version now, a William Branham version or a Seventh Angel version of the Bible. It'll be the same Bible, but the difference will be the apocalypse. I will take the cover off and I will make what has been written right there, but hid, I'll make it known in the ministry of the seventh angel. Amen. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I do. And I'm going to keep on preaching it. Praise be to God. So what is it? Then this great spice, which the world hates today. The church hates today. Maybe the folks that are leaving the message. Well, one of the one things they fight, revelation. You know why? It's the key right here. It's the spice. Many of them that left the message, going back to Trinitarianism, being rebaptized, all this sort of thing. Why? They never had this spice in the first place. Oh, let me read you a couple of scriptures here. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. The secret things belong to God. This is why when you fight against this message, you're fighting against me. Because this is my inheritance. This is part of who I am. This is part of my possession. Oh, hallelujah. Notice Simeon, when he comes and takes the child Jesus into his arms, he said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles." And what's amazing is, even though it's not the same English word, it's the exact same Greek word as revelation. Apokalypsis. Revelation. Manifestation, a laying bare, a disclosure of truth, instruction concerning things before unknown. So folks who don't believe in revelation do not believe in part of the commission and the coming of the Lord Jesus. This is what Simeon said, one of the purposes of the advent of the Son of God, that he would apocalypsis the Gentiles. I'm one of them. Matthew chapter 11 verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man. Now notice this. Knoweth any man but the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now you see, if the Son don't reveal to you the Father, you'll look at it by reading the Bible. And you'll say, there's a Father, and there's a Son, and there's a Holy Ghost. Anytime anybody says that, you know the Son has not revealed to them the Father yet. Because the Son would reveal to you, I and my Father are one. Right? Now, even the revelation of the Father is not made known by reading and studying the Bible. And Jesus himself said, God gives you a brain, God gives you a mind, and you read the Bible and you figure out how to get to God. That is a lie. That is a lie. You come to God only by revelation, my friend. If you come to the understanding of who he is, and the bride has this fragrance. Apocalypsis. You see, the revelation is not only revealing God. It's not only revealing Malachi 4. It's not only revealing Luke 17:30. One of the greatest revelations you'll ever have in your life is you. Daddy, it's me. It's me. I am in this apocalypsis. The message of Luther did not just reveal Luther. It revealed the elect of Luther's day. Same with Wesley. Same with Pentecost. The same with the message of this hour. Why does it look foolish to the rest of the world? Why do they make fun of us for? Well, because they're still veiled. And naturally, without the apocalypse taking place, we would still be veiled to this day. Let me close with this. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Can I add one more booster scripture? Okay. Luke chapter 10 verse 21. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Jesus rejoiced. So those of you that don't believe in rejoicing, you ain't got up to where Jesus was at. Yeah. Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Listen why. And said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things." You mean Jesus would rejoice because the Spirit God hid truth from people? This is your Bible, right? "I thank thee, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." Now people say that's mean. People say, you mean you can't just pick up the Bible and read it like a road map? It's not like a road map exactly. It ain't like a newspaper exactly. It must be uncovered by apocalypse. Children, if you sit here today in Revelation, is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that our God around the world is so blessing the ministry? I'm in touch with brothers all around the world. Is it any wonder he is so doing it with a revelation of where we are in this end time? Look at the very reason why. One of the reasons is because it's being so bombarded from the hypocrites and the backsliders that's pulled away from this truth. And God said, so you wanted to fight? Here, I'll reveal it even more. You want to stay against it? I'll reveal it even more. You want to bless it? Go ahead. I'll make myself known even more clearly. Try to stop that. You thought that was something. Watch this. You thought that was something. Watch this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Oh, Lord. Mama. Poor little bride. She hears all these great adjectives describing her. She looks into the eyes of her Lord. And she's smitten because she just can't understand what he ever sees in her. He looks at her and he's so smitten because he loved her before there was ever a world. He cared for her before there was ever any angels. Psalms 45, if you haven't read it, read it maybe this week. Start with verse 1. If your Bible has the heading and the terms there, you'll find up there it says a song, a psalm to Shoshanan, a song of loves. So the Song of Solomon, Psalm 45, and 1 Corinthians 13. That's 1 Corinthians 13 is called Psalm 45 of the New Testament. So three great, great chapters. Wonder why that God had Paul, to write about love instead of the beloved apostle of love, John. When God wanted love explained like it had never been explained before, why didn't he use John? God used Paul. Paul's identity was really not that of love as much as John's was. Paul's was more faith and doctrine. So God wanted to use a man whose identity wasn't known as being the more loving, gentle one and perform the understanding out of his own life. Can't you see why for some of you, you struggle with this and struggle with temperance and struggle with that? It may be out of your very life that God will take the epitome of overcoming and expressing out of you. Look, friends, I've never drank and I've never smoked and I've never been into any of those things. So will God take that out of there and write it, express it through my life? More than likely he won't. More than likely he won't. But some of you that have been there and had such a hold on your life, you thought it was almost irreversible. It may be your life that God will take and write the epistle of how a drunk can be so converted and never drinks another drop. How somebody's so addicted to smoking or so addicted to alcohol or whatever more drugs that out of their life, God can so deliver them that he'd take and make you the Paul to write about forgiveness and pardon and harmony. Those of you that fight such a temper, oh my, you just have such a battle. God will never use me. Don't say that. He might want to take you, Moses, and give you the title as being the most meekest man on the earth. And then look at you and you overwhelm him. Your beauty, your character, your traits of what he's done in your life. I love him, don't you?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father. Lord, how I desire, I'm sure every Christian here today desires to invite you into our individual garden. Oh, north wind, awake. And retire, thou south wind. North wind, blow across my spices and let them flow. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat
of His pleasant fruits. Lord, here we are in February. Won't be long. March will be rolling around. April. The trees will start putting forth. Even in the cold dead of winter, they'll start coming up their little tiny, tiny buds, and they're shrouded there because they know there'll be winter yet. There'll be more snow and cold days. But somehow when the equinox comes around, when the spring solstice comes, and the earth kicks around in that cycle, they'll start bursting out. Before long, Lord, these mountains of East Tennessee will be full of white and yellow and red. The red buds will be blooming. The dogwoods will be blooming. After that, it'll follow the leaves. We'll have several months of beautiful, beautiful green leaves on those mountains before the cycle strikes her again. Lord, help us. We know March will come. It's been March as far as we've been keeping records. It's always followed February. No matter how harsh February it is, March will come. And so will April. Help us to see, Lord, the cycle of a Christian's the same way. Those south winds may blow. They may blow our temperance. They may be allowed to try our patience. All these things in us. But just as sure as there's a south wind, the north will blow it out. And the north will come and blow our fragrance into the presence of the King. Oh, great King, may I sit at the table with you. May my spikenard, my myrrh, my calamus, my frankincense. I want to stand there before you with my church here and with our age as your prophet will present us. But yet, Lord, I want to stand before you as an individual. Oh, what a great thing it'll be that day at the rapture when all those harmonious fragrances of every age have lived. What an aroma will arise in the presence of the great King. What a conquest. But yet, Lord, one day, maybe I'll be the last one. I don't know. But sometime I'll get my time to come before you. And when I do, Lord Jesus, I want to bow down before your feet, touch your precious feet with my hands. It may take me a few moments, Lord, to be able to raise my head up off the floor. But I want to raise my eyes and look straight into your eyes. Oh, and to see the face of the one I love. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. I'll try not to be too long and take too much time. But I need just a little bit of privacy with you, Lord. Just to tell you how much I love you. How much I mean to you. You mean to me. I know you'll want to take time back and say, Donnie, whatever my name will be, I want to thank you for standing for me. Lord, no doubt in my heart, I'll think, Lord Jesus, it was such an honor. Lord, you know, I tell you over and over again that I count it such an honor. I told Brother David back in the office last week, what an honor it is to speak to the Queen of Heaven. Help us, Lord. Oh, Jesus, may the north wind blow. May it be something that's pleasing to you, my Lord. Blow across my life. If I need to be tried in order to produce the fragrance of patience, fragrance of forgiveness, the fragrance of brotherly kindness, then I simply ask that you do it at your discretion. That you do it in the amount that won't push me over the limit. I trust that to you. Because I know you're always perfect. And right when I've come up to the spot to where that you know that I can't take any more, I know you who controls the wind will speak to the south and it will leave. And the north will come. And I'll feel the cool breezes, the relief from the drought, the dryness of summer. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, blow across me, Lord. Let the spices flow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? No doubt this morning you do not see to the degree that he does what's in your life. But I do believe there's a way that we can see what's there by the way we react to trouble, by the way we react to tests. Just be sensitive and be alert, and it will let you know where you are on each of these that we've talked about. How many with all your heart would say to the Lord Jesus today, Lord, I want to be that kind of a garden. I want to be that kind of a garden, Lord. I want to be fruitful. I want to have rare, exotic plants in my soul. I don't want them just to be there in bulb form, Lord, or just standing there. But let the wind diffuse the fragrance. Hallelujah. Let the art of the apothecary take them and blend them together for whatever mixture. Sometimes, Lord, when you come into your garden, you may want a mixture of my faith and my temperance and my brotherly kindness. Help me to be sensitive to your needs, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. We magnify your holy name. Now, Lord, you've blessed us here today. You've given us your word. Now, we want to take a few minutes before we go have our dinner. And we want to bless you. We want to love you. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Is that you right here at the door? Is that you, Lord? Let me go answer the door. Oh, yes. Yes, it's you. You've come in from another week of Laodicea. They've laughed at you. They've ridiculed you. They've made fun of you. Oh, but you come home, Lord Jesus. Come, come into our home. Our home is our little haven here on the earth. Come here, Lord Jesus. Sit down in this chair. If you don't mind, I'll sit down in your lap. I'll take my fingers and I'll run it through your hair. I'll look you straight in the eyes. I can now because there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I couldn't before because I felt so condemned in my life as being a sinner. But you've so relieved me from condemnation. I can look straight into the eyes of the Word and not go blind. Hallelujah. So I'll look into your eyes and I'll caress your face. Oh, I'll take my lips and from my lips will proceed forth verses of love. Oh, I'll say about the King, thy God has given thee the scepter forever. From my lips will pulsate the words which will bless you. You are the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. You're not one of three. You're all three in one. You're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. They laugh at you, but I praise you. They ridicule you, but I adore you. Hallelujah. They blaspheme you, but I magnify you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, blessed Lord God, El Shaddai, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, I worship you. I worship you because of who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I worship you this way because of who I am. I'm not trespassing. I'm not violating into a spot that I do not belong. I was born for this hour. Glory to God. Hallelujah! When I was a little Pentecostal boy, you knew I would arrive at this time, Lord. You knew I would arrive at this hour. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, oh, we worship you. We worship you. Sing something. Let's just love him, my little children. You were born for this time, children. You were born, remember Esther, when she was made the queen, and Mordecai began to let her know her people was going to be slaughtered on a certain day. And Mordecai sends the message to Esther and said, who is to say that you were made a queen as for such a time as this? Glory to God. No doubt we must be getting closer, because he's training us how to worship divinely. Whew. He's training us how to walk down streets of gold and how to behave ourselves as royalty. We didn't need this 10 years ago. We didn't need this 5 years ago. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Worship him, children. I hope you understand me. I hope you don't think I'm a mystic. Yet I am. I am a mystic. Like you are, if you're a Christian and filled with the Holy Ghost. But there's a way that you can stand right in this building this morning, hundreds of people being around you, and your soul can be raptured and actually elevated into the presence of God in such a way as if you move into some capsule of some sort and everything else around you is closed off. Or if you've never had that to happen to you, I'm telling you, it is out of this world. Before we go, let's just enter into that spot just for a few moments. There's no way we can imagine how he longs for us to come to this time. Don't let the devil rush us. This is the Lord's time. But Brother Donnie, I've got to be somewhere too. Where's more important than being in the courts of the King? In his presence. This is now his time. This is what we can in turn give to him. Hallelujah. Rise up, my love.
More love.
Hallelujah.
More power.
Come, my beloved.
More of you
into your garden. Eat of your precious fruits, my love.
More love.
I adore you. I magnify you. I exalt you.
More of you.
Hallelujah.
In my life.
You are my King.
I will worship you.
You're my first.
With
my
all of my heart.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bless
you. I will worship you.
I worship you, great
with
Adonai.
All of my mind.
Hallelujah, Lord.
I will worship you.
Yes, Lord.
With all of my strength.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
You are mine.
Oh, let's worship him, saints. Let's magnify. Hallelujah.
More love. More power. More of you in my life. More of you in my life. Lord, I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my mind. I will worship you with all of my strength. You are mine, Lord. I will worship you with all of my heart. Lord, I will worship you with all of my mind. I will worship you with all of my strength. You are mine.
Lord Jesus.
More power,
our God.
More of you flowing in my life.
In my life, Lord Jesus.
More love.
More love.
More power.
More dunamis, God.
More of you flowing through my life. I will worship you with all of my heart.
Let's worship Him,
saints.
Let's just raise our arms in the presence of the King.
With all of my mind.
Oh, my mind, Lord.
I will worship you.
Hallelujah.
With all of my strength.
Let the wind blow, Lord.
You are mine.
Let my spices flow. Hallelujah. Let the wind blow. Let the wind blow. More of me in your heart. Let there be more love, Lord. Let there be more forgiveness. More of your mercy. More of my peace flowing in your nose. I worship you. With all of my God, I will worship you with all my mind. Oh, Jesus, my strength, my Lord. More love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, saints. May God help us that we'll come to this place in Him. Go in the fear of God. I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you.
With all of my mind,
oh Lord,
I will worship you with all of my strength.
All my strength, Lord,
you are mine,
my Lord, my lover, and my King.
Yes, Lord. I will worship you with all of my heart.
Lord.
Yes, Lord. More.
Jesus.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Oh yes, Lord.
Sometimes praise. Jesus' love.